Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 3 of Living with Freedom. I'm trying to get an audio to play here and it's not working, so I'm going to try this again. So we're still playing with some of these audio effects and technology things. So that was supposed to be the intro music. So I still have a little bit of playing left to do. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, my fellow Liberty lovers, wherever and whenever you're tuning in. My name is Amber S., and I am from Living with Freedom Ministries on the Living with Freedom radio show. And today is episode 3. We're already 3 episodes into the show, and I'm dubbing this Third Tuesday PMA. And yes, there's a little bit of rhyming going on there. Just easier for my brain to help remember some of these things. So, on Third Tuesday PMA, what this used to be before we had the radio show was I would co-host a monthly call with a group, a fellow freedom lover group in the Midwest here, and we would talk about PMAs and ask questions. I'd help answer those questions and just really give a solid introduction if people were thinking about starting up these things called PMAs, what that looks like, and if it's a good fit for them, all of that jazz. So given that I may not have met you previously or talked to any of you listeners, I wanted to give you a quick introduction into what PMAs really even are, as well as just really digging into how they can protect and defend our rights and liberties. But just like anything, even our Constitution, if you don't know how it works, still just a piece of paper. So for me, it's really important to keep sharing this information. So whether you're brand new to the freedom movement or have been in it for years, you might not have heard about these things called PMAs. So on segment 1, we're going to do this mini intro. In segment 2, we'll open up the lines for some Q&A and comments, as well as some extra info. Depending on how many questions we get, we will continue into segment 3, or if we get to wrap up with questions in segment 2, I have a little extra something that I want to share because today is World Listening Day. So first of all, I want to thank you for listening in on World Listening Day. So without further ado, let's give you a little introduction into PMAs. So you've heard me say this acronym several times already on today's call. What is a PMA? So first of all, I'm going to add a little disclaimer on this show. Information shared here is for educational purposes and not intended to be legal or tax advice. I am a PMA advisor, and so I can help with education and the setting up of a PMA. I can provide resources and additional information to learn more, but really this whole thing is about personal responsibility, self-governance, and sovereignty. I prefer using the words or the term self-governance, especially if you're a faith-based person, because sovereignty really means like we're an island. Each person is our own island without any guidance or direction or authority, higher authority. But those of us who are believers, you know, we get our authority from God, or whatever you call that higher power, that creator. So that being said, you know, we want to make sure that we're protecting and defending those rights, and it's our responsibility to know how to do that. It is not a right to be protected from harm. We do have a right to protect ourselves from harm. That's in our Second Amendment. You know, so that's just a little bit of a disclaimer. If you want to share any of the information in the show, please share it in its entirety or ask me for permission directly. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, or inquiries about this, you can find me at livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. And what I would recommend is putting in the subject line, you know, radio show question or radio show comment or PMing, you know, something like that to give me an idea of how you found out about me. So a little bit in this introduction, this PMA intro, first I want to address that both of us know that there's a real problem in society today, particularly in our country, but really around the world. And what is that problem? It's really, in my personal opinion, a lot of it stems down to an invasion of privacy and our personal private rights. So most of us know that we have a right to privacy. It's something we're already familiar with. So that's why this is kind of really an easy way into concept of our rights and our liberties, is that it's already familiar. You have your property, you have, you know, your personal space, your personal body. So it's a concept we're already familiar with. So for generations, though, we've been opted into this public domain since really around the civil rights movement. So that really is several generations now. And we don't want to be opted in. Most of us who are seeing the writing on the wall or have been seeing the writing on the wall, we know that we are headed toward a very, very messy, uncomfortable, painful, dystopian situation if we continue this path of giving up our rights, giving up our privacy. So a term to remember, PMA stands for Private Membership Association or Private Member Association. Some of the other things you might hear me touch on is faith-based organization or faith-based PMA. You might also hear me talk about ministries and churches. The reason I'm kind of touching on these, and you heard me talk about them last week too with ministries and educating our children, but part of the reason that this is so important is that this is a relatively simple way that we can take a big step back to restoring our rights and standing up and defending them. So why do you need a PMA? Well, really what it is privately associating with members of your inner circle. Some people's inner circle is very large, and some people's inner circle is relatively small, just friends and family, you know, a select few. And regardless of, you know, what you personally have, that inner circle deserves to be protected. So what protects these? We know that we have these rights, and last week, and this is going to be a recurring theme, we know that we have these natural God-given rights. By birth, they are, you know, given to us by our Creator. We're endowed with these rights. So when we talk about our constitutional rights, it's not because the Constitution gives us these rights. It's that it protects these rights we already have, particularly our Bill of Rights. So our Bill of Rights is of roughly the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Now, when we're talking about PMA specifically, we're really leaning on the 1st, 4th, 5th, 9th, 10th, and 14th Amendments. I'm not going to go into them. You can always pause and you know, rewind to dig into what each one says. And I highly recommend, I am a nerd by trade, a nerd at heart, but I highly recommend going and reading the Constitution. When we studied it in school, the very little bit we did study it, if at all, it felt so complex. And this is something anyone who's a reader, I'm going to go back and shift what I was going to say. Anyone who is a reader, loves reading novels or poetry or anything like that, is more than capable of reading this. Even if you hate reading, you are capable of reading these documents. Our founding fathers made this as simple as they could. Now, yes, they liked their run-on sentences. I will be the first to admit that. If you ever try to read the two treatises of government, I think it's called, one run-on sentence is literally the length of an entire paragraph. So sometimes trying to, like, break some of these things down, it takes a little bit. But the concepts themselves are really pretty simple, particularly when you're looking at the Bill of Rights. Those amendments in the Bill of Rights, they made to be very clear and very specific. And you can even go on to read them in your state constitution. The Wisconsin state constitution makes it even more clear than the U.S. constitution. And how the Wisconsin one does it is that, like, pretty much all of Article 1 is the Bill of Rights. And they make it more clear and they expand on it a bit. So definitely read into those things because those are the things that protect your rights. When you have a confrontation or a challenge, that's what you're leaning on first and foremost. Something that's kind of special about the PMAs, especially the ones that I help draft, is that they're not statutory compliant. And the reason that is we're going back to constitutional law. And when it comes to, like, the faith-based organizations like ministries and churches, we're actually even going back to ecclesiastical law, which no courts in this country can touch. And that's a really beautiful thing because historically, especially in Europe, there were, like, church courts or ecclesiastical courts that could rule on religious matters. Thankfully, again, our founding fathers saw the 700 plus years of history and how that didn't work. So that's why our First Amendment is all about how Congress shall make no law, you know, regarding the establishment of religion or even restricting religion. So how I normally say it is that Congress shall make no law, blah, 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 religion, like no law. The important part is that they make no law regarding religion, none, for or against. And we have really come far, far ways from that. If you want to dig into, like, the original intent of that specifically, David Barton, B-A-R-T-O-N, David Barton, wrote a book called Original Intent, and it is fan-freaking-tastic. I highly recommend getting that book. I believe you can find it on Wall Builders somewhere. Don't quote me on that. I got mine from Amazon, but I'd rather support him more directly. So if you are a reader and you want to dig into original intent and really understand where some of these things strayed so badly from the original intent, definitely go check out that book. If you're more of a listener or a video watcher, Chris Ann Hall, and she's on pretty much every streaming platform and almost every social media platform. She does a lot of video content on the original intent and kind of the genealogy of the Constitution. She even has a course. I so wish, and Chris Ann, if you ever hear this, I would love if you could make that an affiliate program because so many of us plug your Liberty First Society course. Because it is amazing. As much as her free content is amazing, the course is, like, amazing on steroids, okay? So shameless plug because it's not an affiliate program. So there's also a lot of case law that protects the private domain. One of the most, the biggest... Words not working. We're going to totally redo that one. Case law that has been quoted the most in terms of protecting our private business is Hale versus Hinkle. And I believe I quoted this last time too. You'll probably hear me repeat this ad nauseum. And it's because it needs to be memorized. It needs to be remembered, you guys. So Hale versus Hinkle says no private citizen owes any duty or obligation to the state or to his neighbor to disclose his private business. Then another one that we really gotta hone in on is in Marbury versus Madison, John Marshall, who was the fourth Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. So this is back in 1802, you guys, like right at the beginning and the foundation of our country, really when they were starting to take off. He said, essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts as well as other departments are bound by that instrument. So what they're saying is, regarding all written constitutions, any law that's in opposition to the Constitution is void, is not to be followed. And that courts as well as other departments, so that would be like your 3- and 4-letter organizations that we all know and love so well, that's sarcasm, by the way, are bound by that instrument. The instrument is the Constitution. All of them, anyone that works for the government, basically, is bound by the Constitution. If we knew this and knew how to uphold it, we would have not gotten down this rabbit hole chaos as far as we have. So definitely one worth remembering. Another one that I happen to really like is, I believe it's NAACP versus the state of Alabama, and I'm going off of memory on this one, but it's basically regarding the state at that time had wanted to get a roster the roster of members from the NAACP. And this was during the civil rights movement. The NAACP, that's that would have been very much a discriminatory action if the state had gotten that list of members. But the courts determined that the state has no business knowing the private members of that private association. Now, the NAACP is not quite the same structure as a PMA, a private member association. They're very similar in a lot of ways. I don't know if I can necessarily tell you what the differences are because I haven't looked into them specifically, but their structure and their function is slightly different, but some of the main concepts of membership and privacy and membership being protected, those are what we're focusing on here. So really what a PMA does for you is it takes all the activities that you're doing with friends and family or community, and because it's your private business, we're bringing it back into the private domain. Now, this is different than the private sector or the public sector, and I know this is a term that I even had started using when I first started learning about PMAs, is this whole public versus private sector. That's what it was. So when I started learning more, I really started being very specific about saying private domain. And the reason that is we're talking about public and private sector. If they're open to public accommodation and they're just open to the public in general, they're still in the public domain, whether they're in the private sector or they're the public sector. If they're open to public accommodation, in my words, and this is not like legal jargon, but in my words, they're really just a privately owned public business, which then means they're subject to all the public rules and regulations and mandates, yada, yada, yada. And those of us who really want to defend and stand for our rights and want to do things in a way that's in alignment with our core values, our beliefs, we want to be able to do things our way, any way we can. And in that public domain system, we can't. We have so many restrictions, so much in terms of like gag orders on what we're allowed to say, what we're not allowed to say. Having to have this permission slip, even to have a business. And this is so, so far out of the scope of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So when I learned about PMAs, and I'm going to mute that, I apologize. So when I learned about these things called PMAs, I'm like, this is how we do it. This is taking back our private rights. And this is taking things back to like being able to sit around your kitchen table and talk about whatever you want, make whatever arrangements you want, You can hire your kid to pay, you know, to mow your lawn, and it's all private. It does not impact the public whatsoever. So those are just some of the things that we really want to focus on when we're thinking about, you know, this whole public domain, private domain. So in terms of jurisdiction, it takes the jurisdiction of your private business back into your private business, your private domain, and out of the local, state, and federal government's hands. And I also want to be very clear, as a fellow liberty lover, as a freedom fighter, as a PMA advisor and director of a ministry, I'm not anti-government. I'm simply anti-government intrusion and overreach. I want to protect our rights that our Constitution, you know, was created to protect. And recreating those proper boundaries, putting the boundaries back in place that they were supposed to have all along, that they started out having and need to get back to. It really was a matter of, you know, give an inch and they take a mile. And that's what's happened. So we're also taking back that delegated power. It was never the government to delegate or, you know, to have in the first place to say what we're allowed to pursue or do. They assumed that power. They took over or usurped that power. And we're just taking it back. I joke that when it comes to digging into PMAs, some of the biggest disadvantages, I say it tongue in cheek, the biggest disadvantages, you guys, into this whole world of PMAs and our private domain rights is the process of unlearning everything we thought we knew about business and exchange with one another and having to like relearn what's truth, truth with a capital T. And part of that, too, if you've been a freedom fighter or liberty lover for any amount of time, there's also the dealing with people who don't understand or don't know yet. And that skepticism and that, you know, sometimes like look like you just grew three heads kind of thing. So it's not always an easy path, but anything worth fighting for, you know, is worth fighting for. So we really need to put on our big boy and girl pants and, you know, take on this challenge to learn what we should have known all along. And here's the thing. Those are the disadvantages. The advantages, I have just a small list, but this list includes freedom of speech, freedom of products and service, freedom of documentation choice. That means what you document, what you don't. If all you really need is profits and losses statements, that's all you need to do. If you need to track and document other things, you can do that as you need. There's no permission from the government needed, no reporting to the government, no audits. You get to help share knowledge of these freedoms with your network and really truly get to share what you know and love with your community without having to have that gag order on you. An example I like to share is when I started using essential oils, I found that you could use peppermint oil for headaches. And after a few years, we had a gag order on us from a certain three-letter organization that you can basically only say fluffy, in my terms, fluffy language. For instance, peppermint gives a cooling, soothing, refreshing sensation because that means a whole lot, right? So that's just one example of how you get to share knowledge. You get to bring people onto your team, into your association, and not have to rely on licensing or certification because you know what? You don't need that permission slip. You have your education, you have your knowledge and your wisdom, and we need to get back to common sense decision making. That's why word of mouth marketing is so incredibly valuable. Because you're getting to trust someone that you already know, your friend, your relative, your coworker. You get to rely on someone you already trust that has used something or tried something or made something, whatever, and trust their word on it. It's a lot easier than, you know, relying on commercials, which we know there's false advertising out there. So there's just a lot of advantages. So looking at our time, I'm going to shift a little bit. I feel like that was a pretty solid introduction. We could go in a little bit deeper, but those are the key points I wanted to hit. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do a couple commercials. We're going to cut to commercial, and then in segment two, we will open things up for Q&A. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wild Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
All right, and one from one of my affiliates. As a medical freedom advocate, I so love and support what Earthly has done, which is maintain integrity of ingredients for truly clean wellness products. Bonus, the owners of Earthly are also freedom fighters and liberty lovers. So my favorite Earthly product is their Good Night Lotion. So it uses magnesium and lavender oil to support sleep, detox, at least specifically the magnesium. I should be very specific here. They use the magnesium to support sleep, detox, healthy blood sugar levels, and gut health. Check out all of their amazing wellness products at Earthly, that's earthly.com/ref/living with freedom/. All right, so we are back, and I'm going to do one thing here first and open up one of the group chats that I'm in here and make sure that Our callers are connected in here. So, segment two, if you are just tuning in to Living with Freedom here on Freedomizer Radio, in the first segment, we were talking about PMAs. And what PMAs are is that they are private membership associations. And we also talked about how they protect our rights. They lean on the Bill of Rights, several of the amendments in the Bill of Rights, to protect our natural God-given rights. If you want to know more about your natural God-given rights, I highly, highly, highly recommend digging into Sir William Blackstone. He, in my opinion, is like the godfather or the grandfather of documenting what our rights are. So again, no person, no human, no entity on earth gave us our rights. They are given to us by our Creator. It's just that he really mastered documenting what those rights are. And I think that's pretty fantastic, if you ask me. So if you missed segment one, please go back and catch that. In this segment, we're going to open up the lines for some Q&A. If some questions are really specific, we will break them down, or if they're like really technical, especially if there's from the group that I have been working with monthly for over a year, you know, some of these questions might be really technical and specific, and I want to break it down so you as a listener, you know, are kind of brought up to speed. So listeners, if you have a question or a comment and you want to come live, please press 1 on your keypad, and I will bring you on the call. All right, so while we wait for those, something else I wanted to share about specifically the ministries / churches. There's a big difference between a free church and what we call a state church. And where this really came from is the difference in how they were established. State churches, or what we're calling state churches, became incorporated. So they became a creature of the state and thus under the regulation and under the thumb of the government. Why did this happen? When did this happen? It really stemmed from the 1954 Johnson Amendment. And what happened then is that that's really when like all of these different tax codes were being created. The nonprofit 501c3 tax code was created. And when organizations were starting to apply for it during the Civil Rights Movement, they as in Big Brother, started to realize that churches had a lot of levying power in terms of getting votes for certain candidates because of their call to action and their you know, appeal to their spirituality. And so what Big Brother did was they basically, and I'm creating a scenario. I don't know verbatim how, because I wasn't there. But what it seems like happened is they're like, oh, churches, you receive donations. So under this new tax system with these EINs, to get or to keep a bank account, you're going to need this EIN. And because you receive donations, you need to get permission to be tax exempt under this 501c3 nonprofit category or tax code. And so they convinced churches to do this. And once they convinced churches to do it and like qualify, they kind of flipped, you know, turned the tides and said, oh, you're a 501c3 or you're a nonprofit. I hate using tax codes as entities because they're not. So that's a pet peeve of mine. So you're a nonprofit. You use the 501c3 tax code. You are not allowed to talk about politics. You are not allowed to endorse or donate to candidates. You're not allowed to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? But because of our First Amendment, they also had to create an exemption, or really an exception, because if you know anything about vernacular and grammar or terms, exception is the exception to the rule. Just, you know, like I before E except after C kind of thing. So if you have an exception, you don't even have to go through the loops to see if you qualify for an exemption. An exemption is getting permission to do or not to do something. Whereas an exception is you already are based on your existence accepted from having to follow that rule. So that's where this other tax code, 508C1A, comes in. So the 508C1A tax code, I'm going to summarize it, and I'm actually just going to post in the chat and make sure that our group is here live in segment 2 for Q&A. All right, and I'm also going to share that caller number here quick. For anyone who is listening, if you do want to call in and ask any questions or share some comments, the guest call-in is 319-527-6208. And if you want to comment, please press 1 after you connect. All right, so we're going to keep going with this new tax code. It's not really new. It's been there all along. It's just been very well hidden. So this 508C1A tax code is that it's a mandatory exception from the 501c3 rules and regulations. And this 501c3 category is really in terms of like registering with the Secretary of State. So that's the process to become incorporated. A 508c1A does not incorporate. They are unincorporated. And so they remain their own entity. They remain a free church. Now there's another tax code in the 6033 section or chapter. And that tax code has the verbatim exact same tax definition as the 508C1A, except that one's under the reporting requirement. So it says there's a mandatory exception from reporting requirements. So as overwhelming as the tax system can be, as overwhelming as studying our state and U.S. constitutions are, or is, I should say, because it's the state of overwhelm, as overwhelming as these things are, it's so vital. And you know what? Yes, there's more than there ever has been. And that needs to change. Just the federal set of rule of regulations. That's not every state, but this is the entire federal collection of regulations. This is a fun fact I learned somewhere. If you were trying to read through that collection of regulations, it would take you studying at more than full-time status as a student for more than 3 years straight to get through what currently exists. And by the time you complete that, so much would have been changed by modification, by addition, by removal, by rearranging, that you would never, ever, ever be able to catch up. And that's just the federal rules. There's another statistic out there that says every single day, most of us break a certain number of laws or commit a certain number of felonies. I don't remember that exact statistic, but it's like, do you realize the overregulation that we're dealing with? If we as a population daily are committing so many felonies a day, that's insane. So that's what I'm saying when we need to get back to putting the government back in their place and limiting and restricting. Often we look at, you know, the government as the top of the food chain, and in reality, they're really the bottom of the food chain. That's why we the people are we the people, because we create our state governments, and then our state representatives and delegates created the U.S. Government through these constitutions. And so really, they're the bottom of the food chain, and we need to start treating them as such. Now, that's not being you know, a big jerk or a big meanie because we're angry, even though we are. It's just as their position, we need to keep them in check. So a couple of frequently asked questions that I commonly get is how do I apply for or file my PMA? So this is a very common thing, one of the very first things that we need to kind of unlearn and relearn. So in the private domain, there's no applying or filing with the state or federal government. You don't have to ask permission. You are simply declaring something that is within your God-given rights to declare. So most of us do not have an education in contract law. That's not even where I, you know, focus in college. This is something I learned out of necessity in the last 5 years because I absolutely needed to for my livelihood and to protect my mission in life, my purpose in life, and my ministry, my personal ministry. So unless you want to go through several years of digging and research and mentorship under someone like my mentor, David Edwards, if you don't really want to go through that personal development process just to get a PMA, you can hire someone like me, or you can make a donation to someone like my, you know, ministry to receive that activity, that receive that offering that I provide. And then you can rely and trust on the fact that they're properly drafted to be constitutional compliant, not statutory compliant, and really giving you all of your rights and liberties, or not giving you, protecting, see, even I mess up on words, protecting your rights and your liberties. So I'm going to change over here quick to this other link, this other tab here. One of the other really, really popular questions I get, especially with people who are anything to do with kids, like education or care, or anyone who's doing anything to do with health and wellness or medicine. One of the biggest questions I get is, what about insert three-letter organization regulations? And my response to that is, what about them? You are a self-governing person. You are part of We the People. And so in the private domain, they, in essence, no longer exist when it comes to your private domain business and activities. So that's where we are so protected. You no longer have a gag order on you in the private domain on what you're allowed to say about peppermint oil or being able to help someone with Reiki or yoga or whatever, like homeopathy. With homeoprophylaxis, all that good stuff. You're no longer restricted. And here's the best part. Even if you are a doctor, like a licensed doctor, you still have your years of training and education. So instead of saying you're licensed, you're trained. You have a degree in that. That education does not go away just because you're in the private domain and don't have that permission slip, i.e. the business license or the certification through an organization, to say you can do this. You have all those years of education. Again, that's where it goes back to relationship marketing and building connections, because people are not going to buy from someone they don't know or don't trust. Although when it comes to, you know, media, we've been kind of conned into thinking we have to. But those of us who are awake to really trusting our gut or intuition on trusting someone, it's really going back to building that know, like, and trust factor. When someone knows you and they like you and they trust you, they're gonna buy from you versus Joe Schmo down the street or from this random product on a shelf at Walmart. So I can get into this whole know, like, and trust factor, but that's a whole nother conversation. Something I am passionate about, because I am passionate about helping people share their offering with others. But that's not the purpose here. Another really common question that we kind of touched on a little bit in the advantages and disadvantages when we were in segment one is, do I have to keep records or report anything? And the short answer is have to. There's no requirements anymore. Now, that's not to say it's good business practice or just good life practice. It's still a really, really good idea to maintain some form of documentation, financial record, and keeping records so you can see what's working, what isn't, what's costing money, what isn't. And really at its base, you know, just profits and losses, what's coming in and what's going out to pay the bills. But you do not have to report to any regulatory system anymore. And that's the beauty of that 6033 tax code, is that it has that mandatory exception specifically for the faith-based organizations like the ministries and churches. And that's why I'm so incredibly passionate about helping people, like I did in last week's call, episode 2, is helping people really hone in on their purpose in life and who they're meant to serve and how they're meant to serve them. When we can do that, that becomes our personal private ministry. When you're connected to your purpose in life and your mission in life, you can start to serve the people that you're meant to serve in a way that you never could in the public domain, because there's so many hoops to jump through. You have to do this to get a business license, and you have to do that to have the property assessed or whatever. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. It's not supposed to be that complicated. Now, when I first started sharing about these PMAs, we were still very much in the height of all of those mandates of 2020 and the COVID era. So one of the big questions is, well, what about these federal and state medical mandates? Again, what about them? This, first of all, goes back to the whole privacy thing. In the privacy of your own home, no one gets to tell you what to wear, what not to wear, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. So all we're doing with PMAs is taking the protection and privacy that we have in our own home, and we're expanding it, giving it structure, and giving it legitimacy by having these founding documents that I help draft. That's what we're doing. We're expanding that so you can take that privacy and protection and also, you know, protect these other activities that are still your private business. So I want to go back and talk about mandates specifically. First of all, mandates are not laws. Anyone who's a freedom fighter or liberty lover should know this by now, but it is worth repeating because people are getting off of the fence and becoming freedom fighters and liberty lovers every single day. So first and foremost, please know that mandates are not law. They're actually just a strong suggestion and request. We're taught that a mandate is a requirement and thus equivalent to a law. It's not. And you can disregard any mandate or executive order because those things were designed for government employees, not we the people. And that's where we've also gotten things so, you know, flipped, turned upside down. And yes, I did grow up watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. So that's one of my favorite lines of the theme song. So, but yeah, we've got it so twisted around to think that they tell us how we can live our lives. And no, it's not supposed to be like that. I think that's all I wanted to say on the mandates part. This also is a really common question that we get, and it's not always a fun answer, so I'm going to say, you know, that disclaimer. The question is, do I still need to have legal representation? And I cringe because I used to think, like most of us, that you can hire an attorney to fight for you and fight for your rights you know, when you're challenged with something, or you need to get something back or whatever, right? And then I went through the family court system. Now, I'm not going to go into detail on my personal situation, but I really started to realize how truly messed up, I'm not going to swear, but how truly messed up court system is. The system itself by design, not that bad. Actually, pretty darn good. It's the problem that we, the people, don't know our rights, we don't know the laws, and we don't know how to enforce them. And so the attorneys, the judges, because they're all Bar Association attorneys and judges, they're all part of this, like, good old boys club. And that's not to say there are some gems in that system. So I will never bash every single one as a blanket statement. But generally, most of them, even as well-meaning as intended as they are misguided and misled on how much they're allowed to do. So with that caveat, you already have your state and U.S. constitutional amendment, as well as longstanding case law to support your position. Keep a list of these references handy, especially the references that are protected by law. Being in the private domain means if there's a dispute within your PMA or your ministry, that would go through your PMA and not the public court system. I'm not going to get into too much detail on that. That's more like if you are looking at starting one, we can go into some of those details. But if you're getting challenges from outside forces, we do have some resources that we can provide. There are constitutional lawyers out there who are aware of PMAs and will protect and defend them. But I actually have a resource that's, in my opinion, even better. And it's a course called How to Win in Court Without a Lawyer. Basically, taking back your rights, don't leave the biggest part in the hands of someone else who isn't even going to fight for you and your rights. This course does just that. The creator of the course, Dr. Frederick Graves, he is a spitfire, really passionate guy. He's been doing this for a long time, longer than I've been alive, and I'm not going to tell you my age. And he's teaching us what he's learned over his many years as a lawyer so that you can protect and defend your rights yourself. And I just realized my link did not save in my file here, so I'm going to pull that up super quick. If you feel, and especially if you're getting into what we lovingly call PMA land, but if you really want to protect and defend your rights, you got to take this course. And it's, I want to say it's like 200 something bucks for a full year access. Where you, at the end, you can actually earn an honorary Juris Doctorate certificate. Not that that matters, because I just told you, you don't need a permission slip, but it's kind of fun to have. You know, you went through all this work of taking this course, and it's kind of fun to have this little, you know, printout of like, look what I accomplished. But it's not, like, legally binding. So that's why I say it's fun to have, but it's not required. So anyways, if you're interested in taking this course, I do have an affiliate link. It's howtowinincourt.com /refer code = S as in Sam, H0024. So I'm going to repeat that one more time. howtowinincourt.com /refer code =SH0024. And hopefully soon we'll get that up on my page on the Freedomizer Radio website for you to be able to access as well. So if you want that link again and you missed it or it's not working for you, please email me at livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. So that's PROT as in Tom, ON as in Nancy, mail.com, Living with Freedom. All right. So that is one of my favorite ways to protect and defend our rights. I'm going to minimize that here for a second. And we're at the 55-minute mark, so I'm going to jump to a commercial here quick. And then we will wrap up with our third and final segment of the day.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison, the show about everything and nothing at all.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Hey, everyone. Come check out the Proof Negative radio show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast as we fight the New World Order and rock the health freedom world together.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, that is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific Time, for the Living with Freedom Show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio. All right, and since we are talking about PMAs, and we will wrap that part of the call up and transition here in a moment. But since we are talking about PMAs, I do want to let you know that I am a PMA advisor. And so what that means is I can share education. I can teach you more about PMAs, what they are, how they work, how you can get one. I also draft fund documents. So if you want to work with me in my ministry and get your own PMA or your own ministry, please reach out and connect with me so I can help you get set up. Best way to get a hold of me is that email address I shared. So it's livingwithfreedom@protonmail.com. So livingwithfreedom@PRotonMail.com. All right. And so we are going to wrap up our show for today with talking a little bit about something that I happen to love. And it's part of why I went and got my degree in communication studies, and that's listening. So today is World Listening Day. And according to nationaltoday.com, World Listening Day is hosted by the World Listening Project, who each year has a specific theme for the July 18th holiday. And this year's theme is prompts. So like you have a prompt to take action, right? So they had a handful of prompts or prompt questions. The very first one, which I really resonated with, is what can we learn from the listening practices of all living beings? Now, my training and education was specifically on human-to-human communication, but we know anyone who has a pet, like, you know your pet, your dog communicates with you, whether their ears are up or their ears are down or their tail is wagging or, you know, all these different things. So we can listen, we can observe everything. We're even listening when we hear the sound of the wind rustling in the leaves in the fall or the sound of waves lapping on the beach, right? So all of these things, and this is really a big concept that we're condensing into a really small focus. But for me, this theme or really this prompt question speaks to my passions in communication. So we know, or hopefully we know, that in all communication, there's always a sender, a message sender, and a message receiver. And the onus or responsibility is really on the sender to clearly communicate their intended message. Now, if we're looking at the animal kingdom, as long as we know that animal, Those communications are relatively simple and clear. Like I was talking about earlier, if your dog's ears are up and his tail is wagging, he's probably pretty excited or pretty happy and in a very friendly mood. If his or her ears are back or the hair is raised on their back, like, no, we're not necessarily hearing those things, but we're still like listening in a more like receiver kind of way. So, yes, the sender has the major responsibility of making sure that their message is very clear and that their intended message is very clearly communicated so that it's easy for the receiver or the listener to understand the message. And it's also up to the listener to use active and effective listening skills to receive the message. So most of us think that, like, oh, I've been listening since I was born, right? As long as I'm of hearing and not deaf, I've been listening my whole life. So why is this so important, right? It's so important because all our lives we've been hearing, but we may not always be listening. And there is a very key distinction between the two. It's one of those, like, yes, I hear you, but did I really listen to you? Did I really listen to comprehend, to understand? And so listening skills are not something we're born with. They must be learned. They must be practiced. And in my opinion, it's vital to master them. So one of my key things that I really, really took on is in college, I learned about the platinum rule. Now, most of us, since we learned about sharing is caring kind of stuff as little kids, we learned about the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Very, very common rule to teach kids, right? Why we're not teaching the platinum rule, though, as we get older, I have no freaking idea. And it's so infuriating because the platinum rule is a golden rule upgrade. It's leveling up the golden rule. So the platinum rule is treat others the way they want to be treated. Now, this gets really tricky because if we truly care about the speaker or the message sender, it means that we have to ask questions to see how exactly it is that the sender wants to be treated. And now I'm specifically talking about communication and listening here, but this message obviously applies across the board for any interaction we have. But in the listening focus here, if we really care about what the speaker is saying and their intention and their message, we must ask questions to make sure we understand what they mean. We cannot be using our own filter, our own perception, to assume we know what they mean or intend. This assumption that we often apply to a message is where we really get in trouble, especially as a freedom movement, especially in politics, discussions of anything that's perceived as controversial. And it's because we're putting on our own glasses, you know, those rose-colored glasses, we're putting on our own glasses to try to see something through someone else's eyes. And it's just not possible. But what we can do through asking questions and listening to understand rather than listening to react or respond is we take ourselves out of the equation and we try to connect with the other person so that we can see things from their perspective so that we can then understand what it is they're trying to portray. So projecting what we think we would feel about something, that's that lower level skills focus about the golden rule, about how we want to be treated. And so we got to stop that projection, you guys. That is one of my biggest recommendations in this whole freedom movement is we need to stop projecting what we think and feel on others because that's where rights and liberties get violated. Our rights end where another's begin, and that's where the boundary is. So we have this delineation and this distinction between my rights and your rights, but there is this line between the two where one person's begins and another ends. And so when we start to break down this divide between us on all these different controversial issues, we then stop letting these false barriers divide us. We can then find this common ground. We're listening, again, to understand rather than listening to react or respond. How many times, and obviously this is not a poll, please don't out yourselves. This is just a rhetorical question. And a question for reflection. But how many times have you ever interrupted someone who was speaking because you thought you knew what they were saying and you wanted to chime in agreement or in opposition, and it turns out they cut you off because you were not understanding what they were saying and they had to re-clarify. And then they got mad because you interrupted them or you assumed you knew what they were talking about. If you're an adult, you've probably experienced this not many times in your life. We can stay grounded and confident in our truth. We're not putting aside our truth and accepting another person's truth as our own. It's holding the space for each other and, yes, still maybe being able to disagree and still being able to understand. And understanding is the focus here. It's not necessarily agreeing. It's not necessarily convincing one person or the other of something. It's simply to understand. And I find that that takes so much pressure off when we're focusing on simply understanding. So when we're listening to understand, it also gives us the opportunity to create connection. It gives us the opportunity to find common ground. The more that we can find that common ground, the more we realize that these divisions are false barriers. I give a very, very frequently I'll give the example of maybe you like vanilla ice cream and I like mint chocolate chip. That doesn't make one of us right or wrong just because we like a certain flavor of ice cream. Now, when you get into these deeper topics, these heavier topics of morality and integrity, yes, there can be truth with a capital T that absolutely guides and directs your life and your decision-making, like the Ten Commandments. Whether or not you're Christian, you've probably heard of the Ten Commandments, or you've heard some variation of them, or derivative, I should say, some derivative of the Ten Commandments that's been kind of neutralized of the religion part. Thou shalt not kill. Most people agree with that. And, you know, so there are some very common common ground areas that we can get into. And when there's that gray area, we can still be able to be like, you know, I get what you're saying. I still don't agree. I understand your perspective. And that alone can create so much peace because we've at least acknowledged that we heard, like, on an energetic, like, spiritual level, the other person. And that can break down these barriers of anger and aggression. And it creates an open door then for conversation. And that leads to the next thing. So, yes, the first focus is upgrading to the Platinum Rule. The next one is after we've created that connection and that finding that common ground, then we can focus on solutions. If there's a challenge that we're facing and that we need to find that common ground, then we can shift from the problem focus to the solutions focus. The transition from the Platinum Rule, asking questions to understand, and creating that or finding that common ground leads to focusing on solutions so that real solutions can be cultivated, can be created and brainstormed and then acted on and applied. And when I say real solutions, I do believe in most cases, real solutions can have a win-win outcome, rather than a win-lose, or even worse, a lose-lose outcome. A lot of these things, too, need to happen through just conversation and having this the space to be able to hear each other. I know especially a lot of those who are more conservative hate hearing about safe spaces because they were very much utilized in a certain manner and not across the board to create safe space. So some of these concepts, I want to help us like transform. And part of the reason this is so important to me is that so much or so often I see on the right-wing side, the conservative side, this looking down on the arts, philosophy and psychology and communication studies and these social sciences. And yet, when you really look at this divide, you'll see that part of the reason your opponent, and I'm going to use that word specifically here, part of the reason your opponent is so successful in getting people off the fence on their side is that they see the purpose of learning how people think, learning how humans function. And it can be used in a manipulative way. It can also be used in a loving and kind way to create understanding and mutual love and respect for each other. And that's kind of where I sit. Like, some people might call me hippie or something equivalent, and like that whole love, peace, and, you know, whatever kind of thing, but love and peace kind of stuff. But we as humans have, and I'm going to use the word evolved. I know Christians don't like that word. I'm talking about microevolution here, not macro. We have developed the skills and abilities over time to be able to come together in conversation to solve a lot of problems. We have these skills at our fingertips thanks to, you know, the internet age. We have access to resources that can help us. Oh, my goodness. Okay, my screen just turned off for a minute. So we have access to this. And my proposal is, why are we not using these resources and this knowledge for good and to help fix these challenges and these problems that we're facing instead of bashing them as arts and you know, things that aren't get down and get dirt under your fingernails, kind of work hard for your livelihood kind of stuff. They have their purpose. Everything that exists in this world has its purpose. It's sometimes a matter of finding that thing's purpose and really applying it. And then also holding it accountable to not abusing its power. You know, that could be applied to any sort of tool or implement where when used properly can be really helpful. It can help you get food on the table, you know. It can also be used to harm. Even something as simple as a pen or a pencil, if used correctly, can prevent wars. But if used incorrectly, can create wars. Or even worse, can be used as a tool itself against another person. So when we're looking at these tools and resources, especially in the arts, yes, we need to use discernment on how to use it in a way that's full of integrity and morals without using it in a ego-based way. So that's kind of like, that's there was something else I wanted to say about that. I would say that's why I'm so passionate about communication in this whole freedom movement and for liberty lovers across the country, is the more that we can bring it down a notch and listen to understand and then thoughtfully and mindfully respond rather than react out of emotion, respond out of our logic part of our brain, the more that we're going to attract people who are like-minded, or at least help tap into that logic part of someone else's brain, where so much of what we're exposed to is so emotionally driven, and it's literally designed to appeal to emotion, and that's a logical fallacy, appeal to emotion, or appeal to authority, that we've given up so much of our other abilities to problem solve, and we've given away so much of our power. So to recap this specific segment, focus on the platinum rule, treat others the way they want to be treated. And if you don't know for a fact, because they've already told you how they want to be treated, ask. People would still rather you ask a question if you're coming at it from a humble place to understand than they will ever respond if you're simply assuming. So simply ask. Ask the questions, even if they're hard. And a disclaimer, so often when I'm talking to people, when I'm doing my PMA advising, I will add a disclaimer. And here's a perfect example. One of the questions that I ask people is, What is your faith structure? And basically I'm asking, what's their belief system? And I add the disclaimer that I'm not asking to be nosy. I'm simply asking because when we get to the drafting point of their documents, I want to make sure that they're customized to that person's specific belief system. If they're Christian and they want to be referencing the Bible, then we do that. If they are Jewish and they're relying on the Torah, then we do that. You know, if they're more esoteric and believing in like universe or just Mother Earth, like, then we draft those in a way that's in alignment with their belief system. And that's one of the beautiful things in what I do, to kind of circle it back to the PMA thing for a second, is the basic definition of faith in terms of like the law is a strongly or firmly held belief. That's it. And that's the beauty of it too, is that it's your faith. And even in the Bible, that's why we have so many different denominations, is different people have picked out different things that have resonated and been very important for them and created an entire denomination or even different religion based on those core values and beliefs. Knowing that our founding fathers were truly quite genius in their creation of the Declaration of Independence and our Bill of Rights in our Constitution. And specifically, I'm thinking of when in the Declaration it says the laws of nature and nature's God. It was also, that phrase is also used earlier from Sir William Blackstone as well, or rather talking about a faith in nature and nature's God. So what I love about that phrase is that it really is quite religion neutral. Christians obviously believe that God created all of nature. And so nature's God, as in nature's possessive God, it's saying the God of nature, right? But it can also apply for people who have a different belief system and believe just in nature or Mother Nature, right? And that's the really cool thing about it. So we're wrapping up episode 3 here. I'm going to do a super quick recap of the entire call. I've been doing my best to be more mindful about that. And then I went to do it again. The person who called me out on it is going to get a kick out of me catching myself on that one. To give a recap of today's call, first we were talking about PMAs because this is the third Tuesday of the month, and to continue my more than year-long tradition of doing PMA talks on the third Tuesday of the month, I am now dubbing the third Tuesday on our radio show Third Tuesday PMA, where we do at least one segment talking about PMAs. That could be case law, it could be things like how they work for you, how they can function, how to set them up. All things PMA. And then segment 2, we did not have any callers call in, so I'm going to make sure that I communicate better at the beginning of the call on how to call in. All the ums. All right, we're going to stop being so mindful about that and making things awkward. In the future, if you want to call in with a question or a comment, sharing your thoughts and feelings about what we're talking about, you can do that by calling in to 319-527-6208. And when it connects you in, you can just press number 1 in your keypad. And what it'll do is, in my switchboard, it will basically like raise your hand to show that you have something you want to share. If you prefer to just comment via typing, you can do that by connecting your Facebook on the freedommiserradio.com website when we're live, and in my switchboard, I can also see those comments coming in live there as well. So I can respond to that on the call live. What else are we going to recap? So we did not have any call-in questions, but I did cover some frequently asked questions that I have received over my three plus years of doing PMA advising. And then in our third segment, because it's World Listening Day, we talked about some listening skills and how to really cultivate those skills so that we can have a positive listening experience. With World Listening Today, thank you for listening in. And something that World Listening Project. They have a lot of things that are pretty fascinating in terms of listening. Sometimes their recordings their events revolving around the event today are about listening to soundscapes, because this day was created to honor someone who first really started recording soundscapes. So if you love to fall asleep to the sound of rain falling or thunderstorms or an ocean or even just a creek, the water trickling down in the creek, if you like any of those nature kind of sounds, you can thank the creator, and not necessarily creator, but the originator of recording soundscapes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to quick do a search. And I thought I wrote down their website. So we're going to do just worldlisteningday.org, I believe is what it is. Yeah, worldlisteningday.org. If you want to learn more about this event, its origins, definitely go to that website. I only discovered it today to celebrate World Listening Day, so I don't necessarily know about or endorse anything they support in their mission, because I have not looked at their mission. I just know that they want to kind of honor the origins of listening to soundscapes, as well as just listening in general. And I think that's pretty cool, because I like music and I like soundscapes. I love the sound of nature. Holy loud vehicle outside. All right. Well, we are wrapping up today. Next week, let's see what we're talking about next week. I don't think I have that in my notes. I'm going to pull up the link here super quick. I know originally I was hoping to do a recap call on the show, because I was going to be speaking at an event at the end of the month here in Wisconsin. That's either getting rescheduled or we're going to be doing something else. And so in the meantime, we will probably kind of do a revamp, and we'll be having some guests on, if I can still get them on. Like I said, we were going to talk about the event we were going to be at. So next week's call is going to, we're over on time. We're going to be talking about ministry. We're also going to be talking about kingdom mindset and kingdom citizens. That took longer to pull up the link than I was expecting. So thank you for joining in. Again, I am Amber S. on Living with Freedom radio show on Freedomizer Radio. And that is all for today. I had a closing exit audio, but we're just going to close it off here.